Good morning. I'm so glad that you got out on this cold, wet morning. I'm glad that the roads weren't icy. We were worried about it. But it's a great day, and we've had a great time so far with Brother Filomeno. And, you know, the Bible tells us in Proverbs 25:25, as cold waters to a thirsty soul, so is good news from a far country. And that's the reason that we like to have missionary guests in, so that you can hear the good news from a far country, so that you can know how to pray for them, how to lift them up, and how to support them. And so we're excited about Brother Phil being here and sharing with us. You know, a story that you shared earlier, Brother Phil, reminded me of a story, and so I wanted to share it with you. It's a quick one, I promise. He was talking about his sister wanting to be baptized and how she spent a year living obediently under her parents and trying to do what was right so that she would get a favorable answer from them. I remember back a young lady named Catherine who is just a spitfire of a little Filipina girl that wanted, yeah, Laura, you know Catherine, who had trusted in Christ as her Savior. She was a young teenager, and she wanted to ask her father's permission to be baptized. And she came to me, and she and her sisters, and they were in tears saying, but Pastor Wade, they're not going to let me be baptized. And I said, just trust that God's going to allow it. It's going to be okay. And we talked, and so finally they said, okay, and they started walking off. And I heard her say something, and I wasn't sure exactly what she said. And I was like, well, I'll have to check that with my language helper. Because, Brother Phil, I didn't grow up speaking Tagalog like you do. And so I went to my language helper, and I said, what does this mean? And he started laughing. He said, where did you hear this? I said, well, Catherine said it as she was walking off. And he said, oh, she said that she'll ask her dad when he's drunk, so maybe he'll say yes. Fortunately, Catherine did not ask her dad when he was drunk. And fortunately, he did say yes, and they were able to be baptized. The work that Brother Phil and Miss Lisa are embarking upon is not an easy work. It's a work that, as he shared this morning, is steeped in tradition and steeped in superstition. And when you say yes to Christ and yes to becoming a Christian in a Baptist church, you're not just turning your back on a religion, but you're turning your back on your religion, your family, your culture. And it's a difficult thing. And so we need to lift them up, and we need to be praying for them. He's got some great things to be sharing this morning, and so I'm going to invite him to come, and I think Miss Lisa's going to come in just a moment as well. So, Brother Phil, you come ahead, sir. And Lisa, come on too.
Good morning. It is a privilege to be here, and I love the song that we sang about our God, because he's all there is. He's all that we need, and he is our healer and our comforter and our strength, and all we have to do is to put our eyes on him. You know, there's the familiar song, Turn Your Eyes Upon Jesus. And the things of this world will grow strangely dim. And so that's all that I can do as a child of God. I don't feel qualified to go and do what he has, but he's the one that called me, and so I'm trusting him to do the work. The song that I'd like to sing this morning is entitled Come Just As You Are, and that's one of the favorite phrases in the Bible, I think, that I have, where Jesus reaches out his hands and says, come. Come just as you are. All you who are weary and heavy laden, come unto me, and I will give you rest. And he says, come to those that need salvation. So wherever you're at, Jesus is saying, come. And if you know this song, feel free to join in and sing with me, because this should be the prayer of our heart. Come just as you are.
Thank you. Mahalo, Lisa. Let me begin the way our Hawaiian worship leader would begin our worship at Ali'i Baptist Church, where I was pastor for the longest time in Hawaii. Well, he would say, Aloha! There was an echo. It's actually not boisterous, and if you don't respond, he'll say it again. Since you don't respond, I have to say it, okay? Aloha! Very good. You're going to be bound for Hawaii pretty soon. Well, because we have Samoans in our congregation, he would say talofa. The Filipinos, they're a large group actually at our church. And so he would say mabuhay. And because of a sprinkling of Japanese at our congregation, he would say bansai. Now, the Micronesians are gentle people, and so they're not supposed to be loud. So you would say, Rananin. Now, since I'm here in Arkansas now, I'd say, howdy, y'all. I need to practice on that, right? Well, it's so good to be here, and thank you, Brother Wade. And I actually owe a lot to Joanna's family, because I was telling you that the Birch side, like Karen, her aunt and uncle, Travis Moore, were their ministry led our family to the Lord. And so I would like to say thank you to Joanna's family. My first Christmas in America was actually with Joanna. She was a little girl. She probably don't remember when I spent Christmas in Tupelo, Fulton, Mississippi. Anyway, I'm happy to be here, and thank you so much. You see, I ended up in Hawaii not because I was actually hesitatingly to go to Hawaii. So when the Lord called me to be a missionary there, like I was telling you earlier, that that's not really where I want to go. I wanted to go to the Philippines. You see, it's Philippines is like going to heaven, and Hawaii is purgatory. So, but after spending some time in Hawaii, the missions office came to me and said, you know, we realize that you're having a hard time financially. Would you consider living or moving your base of ministry somewhere else, like Philippines? Wow! But my friends in Hawaii are saying, how can you take a demotion? That's just like cutting you down. Well, they don't realize that for me, it's an answered prayer. So please pray for us as we are going to be relocating to the Philippines. My family actually have been there, and we're excited. You know, if a picture paints 1,000 words, you know, I can just say things to you, but I got some proof to tell you. But before we go, that's my family, actually, our team. We ended up living together in Hawaii. That's in Eva Beach, where we planted our first church. It's interesting that we ended up in Hawaii when my wife and I don't like the beach, but nevertheless, we ended up in Hawaii. Please turn with me in Isaiah chapter 1 and verse 18. Isaiah chapter 1 and verse 18, because we will be pondering on this verse as I close the message later on after the slide presentation. Isaiah chapter 1 and verse 18 actually is a quote where the prophet Isaiah is quoting God himself. Isaiah chapter 1 and verse 18. Please follow along with me as I read. It says here, come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for this privilege, for this wonderful opportunity to share your word, my testimony, and to speak about missions. Lord, the reason we're still here on earth is because we got work to do, and that is to be missionaries ourselves. That we need to share the gospel news, the good news of salvation, that Jesus died for our sins and rose again from the dead, and that he's coming again. Help us, Lord, to be mindful that we need to increase the population of heaven and decrease the population of hell, one soul at a time, but by sharing the gospel of the Lord Jesus. Please anoint this time, Lord, for the glory of Christ. In his name we pray. Amen. Okay, my wife is up there, and he's going to help me, but I got to do some shout out. You see, when we first started in Hawaii, my children were young. They're very young. When we came to this church in 2005, you probably remember Justine as a little girl. Well, she's back there now. She's 13 now. And my son, who was like Caleb, you know, my right-hand person, I didn't have, you know, another man to entrust the work. But because I'm a church planner and went to other places and other islands, I would tell my son, I need someone to preach. I need someone to give a devotional. I need someone to lead the worship. My son would say, yes, dad. I need someone to play the instrument. We don't even have a guitar player. So I bought him at the swap meet an ukulele. And he learned that pretty quickly. Actually, he practiced at the airport, and before we got to our destination, he had a ukulele case full of coins because people would throw things. But he learned that, and he would actually travel with me to different countries. And long ago, he said, Dad, God is calling me to the ministry. I'm going to enroll this semester at CBC in the ministry program. So please pray for him, as we actually can't afford to send him to college. But I know God will supply for his needs. That's my son, Matthew, who is now at CBC. Okay, where's Hawaii? If you have the large expanse of the ocean, Pacific Ocean, you go to the middle and you'll find the Hawaiian chain of islands. It is said to be the most remote islands in the world, farthest away from a major land mass. Well, the six major islands comprise that archipelago, and we ended up in the most populated island, Oahu. Okay, this is the capital of Hawaii, which is Honolulu, and the world-famous Waikiki Beach. It's also famous for that big Hawaii 5-0 surf, where people from all over the world will try to experience what it's like not only to watch that big tunnel of wave, but also to experience it. At this level, though, it's very dangerous. But try to imagine baptizing in those conditions. When I was baptizing Marcella, and she was almost 80, I dip her in the water, and then, oh, where did she go? Oh, there she is. I'm glad we didn't lose Marcella, because I could have ended up in KGMB Channel 9 News that evening. But anyway, no, we haven't lost a body in spite of the surf. It's beautiful above the water and beautiful below the water, as you can see. It's also the land of fire. If you follow the news, this smoldering volcano on the big island is swallowing up subdivisions, one house at a time. And so it's quite an expensive volcanic eruption. It's also the land of ice, because on the same island at the highest elevation, you can actually go snowboarding and sledding and skiing. Like this one. It's the land of aloha, the land of hula hands, the language of the hands, not the hips, gentlemen. During my presentation during Sunday school, I was telling you how the Filipinos shunned me away at the early beginnings of the ministry. But I kept pressing, and it paid off, because pretty soon they were listening to the gospel as I tried to pray for them, remembering to pray for the family specifically by name. And that really caught their attention. And so I got a reputation as the minister. You call him because he would pray for you by name. And so pretty soon they were listening to the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, and getting saved together. And getting baptized together like that family in the middle, all wearing the white t-shirt. And so this is just one group of families because other families followed. When you have that surf to baptize in, you actually need several people too. One to look out for the coming surf and to time it to immerse the people like I have here. And if you baptize a large Hawaiian man, you start from the shallow and then go inch toward the deeper part. Because everybody gets immersed. Everybody gets baptized. It's also a blessing for me as a pastor when men get saved and get baptized. Here, a group of young men, I see a high school athlete and a college student, a transplant from Germany, a heavy equipment operator, a high school valedictorian right there. You know, young men getting baptized. I know, you know, usually it's the women that come tugging along their little children. But it's a blessing to have men follow the Lord. And you baptize in the rain, you're going to get wet anyway, right? So if you're going to watch, bring your umbrella. The locals actually don't want to go and get wet in the ocean during the what we call winter time. We have a mild version of the winter. It's really not that cold, but for them, it's not the right temperature to go in the water. But, you know, if people are being led to follow the Lord in scriptural baptism, you would even have a group to be baptized in the wintertime. It's an added bonus when you baptize with the sun shining on you in the summertime, like this one at Ko'olina Beach Park not long ago. Dancing in the church in Hawaii, it's really not uncommon. As in this case, my Bible students all dress up in their uniform, mu'umu'u, dancing to the tune of Silent Night and other worship songs. It's really quite uplifting. But the Filipinos cannot be left behind. They too can dance the tinikling, as jumping like birds on that bamboo sticks. And potluck, there you go. How would you like eating a pig looking back at you? This is during the organization of the first church, Ali'i Baptist Church, in Ewa Beach on the island of Oahu. Ali'i means royalty. When you get saved, aren't we children of the king? We're royalty. We're royals. This is the second church that we organized. Actually, this year, no, not 2014, last year. Nakoa Baptist Church, meaning the strong. As a church planner, I have to move on. And so what happens to the congregation I leave behind? You know, there are probably volunteers, as I know of fact of people that made intentions. Are you looking for a pastor from here, from the mainland? But it is encouraging that we have homebred men saved and baptized and discipled from our churches in Hawaii that were ordained not long ago to be the pastor and the deacon of our churches there. Pastor William Flores and Deacon Reynaldo Ramirez. This is the group picture of Nakoa Baptist Church in Waipahu and Ali'i Baptist Church in Ewa Beach. So we thank you for your prayers and those who supported us. Now, remember the Samoans that invited me to go to their islands? Well, we now have ministry in American Samoa and in the independent country of Samoa. These are two independent territories. American Samoa is U.S. side, and Samoa is an independent country separated by the international dateline. They're just a few minutes apart, so it's now Monday in Samoa and still Sunday. You can actually preach back to back. Just travel and you have one Sunday, the next day another Sunday, and I've done that. The women actually are the moving force in the churches. They are tremendous workers. They're wearing their traditional colorful attire. Now, here's a sculpture of the former king and his son at the back. Well, this is actually available on the internet, the story. You see, Samoa used to be a cannibal country. They eat humans, friends and enemies, friends and foes. They eat them alike. Well, the king who's at the foreground, he's the first one here, had a voracious appetite for humans. He actually would ask for a ration of humans from the other islands too. The son kept telling him, "This is not right, Dad. You can eat pigs or chickens or the tremendous amount of cats from the ocean, but stop eating humans because they're our own kind." But, you know, when you are addicted to people, he cannot stop. Well, one time, according to this story, the son kept hearing the wailing of the men who were to be sacrificed for the king. Well, he said, "Oh, you can't do this. Go home to your island. Go home. I'll take your place." So he did. Actually, that's the posture that they would cook the humans at the back. Cook alive. So he said, "Just cover me with banana leaves and coconut branches and present me." When he was brought in and smelled that wonderful aroma, he thought it was a big catch from the ocean. So they said to King Maliatoa, "It is not a fish, but your son Pulua Liu Ligana." Oh my, that pricked his heart. And from then on, he said, "From this time forward, there's no more eating of humans because of my son who sacrificed himself for me." Well, isn't that what Jesus did for us? When he died for us, now, thank goodness, we don't have to sacrifice a chicken or a goat or pigs in other countries. I'm telling you, they do that to wash away their sins because they gather the blood. Or in the Old Testament time when they would have to have a sacrificial lamb. Well, Jesus died for us once and for all. God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Romans 6:23 says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." Okay, this happened just a few months ago when the Baptist Medical Missions International came to help, you know, our work there in Samoa. Hundreds of people waiting outside to see the doctor, hundreds more or multiple more inside the building to see Dr. Izzard and a young doctor, Dr. Clark from Little Rock. But, you know, it's a ministry physically and spiritually. They have to minister to spiritually. Someone has to preach to them. But when you have hundreds of people waiting to see the doctor and they don't speak English, you run out of translators. So they came to me. "Oh, well, you're the missionary here, right?" "Yeah." "Well, someone needs to preach to them." "Okay, well, I got a problem. I don't speak Samoan." "Well, learn it." Oh, my goodness. The first 2 days was really rough because they were laughing at me. And, you know, you would say one thing, but it actually meant another thing. But I said, "Lord, I don't know what speaking in tongues means, but I need it right now." So, but, you know, you got to work at it. It's not like, you know, gibberish. But the Lord helped me, and now here I'm presenting the whole gospel in Samoan. And when I preached that night, thank goodness, some more got saved, like this group of young men, 12, 13, 14. But I needed a Samoan pastor to wearing his skirt to follow them up. I was telling you about how the traditional attire in Samoa is on Sunday, representing the washing of their sin, being cleansed, but the ministers are wearing the darker colors to distinguish them and the pastor's wife. Here, I was preaching, and they told me, "Well, you preach in our traditional lava lava skirt." And I did not cave into that peer pressure. I kept my pants on. Now, also, we planted a church in Micronesia, and we have a new field that I'm going to and going to bring the BMMI to another island, another state in Micronesia. But their micro means tiny, right? So you actually have to put dots on the map to show where it is. Well, Guam is the biggest Micronesian island, so that will tell you the location of Micronesia. Here's the traditional attire of Micronesians. And when God placed in my heart the burden to plant a church in Micronesia, guess who I found in Micronesia? My roommate, when I was a bachelor, and we have a parsonage, my roommate, my associate missionary, I found him in Micronesia, wondering, what am I going to do for the Lord? I said, why don't we do church planting in Micronesia? Here's his family, and he's doing a tremendous job there. That's the church in Micronesia on Sunday. And they were also recipients of the shoe boxes a few years ago and also this past Christmas. You see, when we have the shoe boxes, we don't just give it out like that. We gather the people, we gather the family, and present it to the child, because inside the shoe boxes are wonderful things, either school supplies, crayons, and toys, and wonderful things that, you know, every child would smile. But before it's presented to the child, the gospel is presented. So mom and dad, grandma and grandpa heard the gospel, and they reported over 1,500 professions of faith as a result of the shoe boxes. But because education is very bad in Micronesia, when you want them to read the Bible, it's your ministry to teach them how to read and how to write. And so we opened a Christian library there for the children with donations of laptop. Now they're enjoying and reading the Bible. You have people in high school and can hardly read. People are responding. You see, baptism in Micronesia was a taboo, and still is in most places. And when we went there and preaching the gospel and started baptizing, the people were scared off by our practice. And so, because the elders told them it's a cult practice, only the cults baptize in water. You see, they said, when you get saved, you're immediately baptized in spirit and in water, whether you're aware of it or not. It just happens. And so when they saw us baptizing the water, they scatter away. But we showed them from the Bible, it's the ordinance. You cannot get saved by baptism, but we follow the Lord's ordinance. So the wonderful thing in Micronesia is that there's no wave. The islands or the atolls are surrounded by a reef, and so it's like glass, like this one. So the elders are being baptized now, down to the teenagers. We also have a ministry in Singapore. It's an island nation down in Southeast Asia. Well, how did that happen? Well, Lisa and I are helping a church planting there, church planner, who's going to seminary, and we help support him. And it's a very progressive island nation, very modern, a lot of Christian liberties. It's a fusion of different ethnic groups from Asia, as you can tell from the dresses that the children wear. The food is excellent. You know, I'm sure you've been to Singapore. It's wonderful, but bring your Rolaids, because you're going to enjoy it, but you might suffer a while. I like going to Singapore because I look like way there, a giant, you know. And the rest are shorter than me. When you do church planting in Singapore, you have to do it very carefully, because you cannot just ask Temple Baptist Church to be your sending church. The government will say, no, it has to be a Singaporean church. An established, large Singaporean church. Well, if you don't have a church that you agree with their doctrines or practices or politics, then you do it underground. Well, they're growing, but they really cannot advertise. They're also baptizing in this case. But down in the equator, when it starts lightning, you have to get out of the water, because it's illegal to stay in the water. You might get fried. Okay, for all the 40 years or so that BMA has been in the Philippines, there has not been an organized outreach up north in the Ilonggo, Ilocano side. In Manila, And down south, we got plenty of work. But we have not gone up to the north. And so the Filipinos in Hawaii are saying, why have you not witnessed to our family? So they gave us a list of their family and addresses, and Lisa and I went up there, and we started witnessing. And so we have a seed group there. And I was telling you that two Sundays ago, we had 31 baptized that day, one day, and they have a large group waiting to be baptized. And so it's a beautiful place, as you see the beach over there, but it's also vulnerable, the whole country, from super typhoons. As you can tell, I was actually in that country when it happened, the super typhoon. That wave was higher than a three-story coconut tree, and that ship ended up in the middle of the town right there. And that's our team in Ilocos, my brother and my brother-in-law and my sister. My wife is there too, and Justine. This is the town of Lawag and San Nicolas, where we're going to be based. It's a little less modern than other places in the country, so there's no taxis. Jeepneys are hard to ride on, and so you either have a tricycle with a motorcycle with a sidecar or a kalesa pulled by a horse. We actually are raising money to buy a used van with a family like mine and dogs that don't get shots, that have rabies, and drunk people at the corner of the streets that could assault you as you travel from one barrio to another. It's really nice to have an American family in the protected by a van, and so please pray for us. We are allowed to go to schools, and this is just the sixth graders. Here they're responding to the gospel. And then we invite them to come on Sunday, and the parents come for parenting class. It's very, very creative way of church planning, but it's working. We also are invited to be the chaplain to the police department. Here's my brother-in-law, and he has a regular meetings with the police department, and so we're impacting from the schools to the police department, and here the kids are so excited to say their memory verses, and the parents came, and they said, let's all wear pink color with matching pink lipstick, and they're just going to say their memory verse. Why am I, as I close this presentation, why am I a missionary to the islands? It's perhaps the most neglected group of people in the world. You go to big countries like China and India. There's a great need, as here in America or Canada. But the island people have been neglected for a long time. There are islands out there that you are not, don't even think that there's islands. And people travel for days in tiny boats like that to go from one island to another. And I asked them, are you not afraid? They said, no, our boats are registered. If we get lost, they'll find us. Just like the Lord. The Lord knows where you are. If you're praying for someone, the Lord knows where to find that person. Just like this island people, not afraid to travel on a big island like the Pacific. If we stay behind, they're going to be left worshiping the sun, literally. Worshiping the ocean or the mountains. You know, as I travel from one island to another in a small plane, I look around me. Am I the only person who's not a Mormon here? They're cashing in because they are going to those islands. They're in and out of those islands, proselyting people and building their large temples in a pristine environment. The Jehovah's Witnesses cannot be left behind. In November, about 30,000 people were added to the population of Hawaii, because they came, a lot of them would stay to win people to their cause. Here they are enjoying paradise because they think they have another paradise. And it's so weird too that you have this beautiful mountains and you see there's a Buddhist temple. If we don't go to those islands, we're going to lose them. The Muslims are cashing in. They're even going up north to where our place is. They're taking the islands by force and proselytizing people from birth to death, like this school children. And it's happening right now in those islands. Let's do missions together. I'm not expecting you to support me financially, but I could use your prayers. Let's give glory unto the Lord and declare his praise in the islands. Let me close with the water that was given to me by Brother Dan, because I could use this. You know, it's not unusual when you go to the islands and there are people that don't think they have sins. You preach the gospel, and of course it's about the gospel to sinners, right? The good news is God came to save. And here's a lady that says, I'm not a sinner. I'm the leader of our group here, and I'm not a sinner. Well, she just lied because she doesn't think she's a sinner. She goes to confessional every day. But even if she has just one lie, it's like this pollutant to this water. Would I drink from that? Of course not. But we sin more than that. We sin so many times over until this clean water is like iced tea or cola, right? For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But God came to die for us. Just like in our verse that says, come now. Let us reason together. Let's settle this matter of sin once and for all. Though your sins may be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. You know, I went to the pharmacy to find a medicine for this problem of sin, problem of this pollutant. Oh, that's really dark. I put too much. Now, will this work? Well, this is the medicine I got from the pharmacy, so I'm going to break it just like Jesus was broken on the cross for us. I'm going to dump it there. What can wash away our sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. You know, God washed me. When I got saved, he washed me. Now my sins have been done away. I know I'm going to heaven because Jesus died for my sin. And he washed away my sin. Have you experienced the washing of the blood of Jesus in your own personal life? Would you come to Jesus as your Lord and personal Savior? I don't know how you end the service. I think I went over time. But thank you for this time. I'd like to ask the pastor to please come and help us to close out.